Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 33. Think outside the cage, a way of waking up to the very life we're living. Maybe some furnace noises. And a lot less editing on this show because it's inspired by John Cage. I'll read more of his bio during the show. He's an artist, a writer, some books about him. And there's the book Silence, Lectures and Writings by John Cage. Where the Heart Beats, John Cage, Zen Buddhism and the Inner Life by Kay Larson. John Cage by Rob Haskins. John Cage, Every Day is a Good Day, The Visual Art of John Cage by Cage and Others. And there's a DVD, How to Get Out of the Cage, A Year with John Cage. And lots of music CDs. Not much literary in this show, perhaps better called Beyond the Lines, but it's more about the happenings in the 60s. I think there was art happenings where art wasn't just a static presentation but an action, something integrated into daily life. My introduction to John Cage came about 1980 or so in college. I don't remember if he was performing, but it was a presentation of one of his works. It was a tape player that played a voice, and it got slower and slower. So if it started off by saying, "Hello, how are you?" went on for about 20 minutes and it became like, "Hello, how are you?" And by the end, it was, Now, is that art? Was it beautiful? I don't know, but this many years later, I barely remember college education, but I do remember that piece by John Cage. This is your host, Monk, and thanks for listening.
When I hear what we call music, it seems to me that someone is talking, and talking about his feelings or about his ideas of relationships. But when I hear traffic, the sound of traffic here on 6th Avenue, for instance, I don't have the feeling that anyone is talking. I have the feeling that sound is acting, and I love the activity of sound. What it does is it gets louder and quieter, and it gets higher and lower, and it gets longer and shorter. It does all those things which I'm completely satisfied with that. I don't need sound to talk to me. We don't see much difference between time and space. We don't know where one begins and the other stops. So that most of the arts we think of as being in time, and most of the arts we think of as being in space. Marcel Duchamp, for instance, began thinking of thinking of music as being not a time art, but a space art. And he made it a piece called Sculpture Musicale, which means different sounds coming from different places and lasting, producing a sculpture which is sonorous and which remains. People expect listening to be more than listening. And so sometimes they speak of inner listening, or the meaning of sound. When I talk about music, it finally comes to people's minds that I'm talking about sound that doesn't mean anything, that is not inner, but is just outer. And they say, these people who understand that finally say, you mean it's just sounds, thinking that for something to just be a sound is to be useless. Whereas I love sounds just as they are. And I have no need for them to be anything more than what they are. I don't want them to be psychological. I don't want a sound to pretend that it's a bucket, or that it's a president, or that it's in love with another sound. I just want it to be a sound. And I'm not so stupid either. There was a German philosopher who's very well known, Immanuel Kant, and he said there are two things that don't have to mean anything. One is music, and the other is laughter. Don't have to mean anything, that is, in order to give us very deep pleasure. You know that, don't you? The sound experience, which I prefer to all others, is the experience of silence. And the silence almost everywhere in the world now is traffic. If you listen to Beethoven or to Mozart, you see that they're always the same. But if you listen to traffic, you see it's always different.
A YouTube segment, John Cage, about silence. Very profound, interesting sort of zenish presentation of listening to sounds, and also shows his love of sounds with any art. One's love, whether it's love of words, love of paints, love of motion, that's a key factor. And now we're going to go to couple minutes of this segment, John Cage playing amplified cacti and plant materials with a feather. This is worth watching on YouTube if you can. It's literally a piece of cactus hooked up to some amplification, and he is touching it with a feather. This is what you can hear. People under pianos, I'm not sure what they're doing.
It's been said that listening to John Cage's music is like chewing sand. Well, I'll leave that up to you and your teeth to decide. Meanwhile, we've been seeing and hearing simultaneously a performance by the German artist Joseph Beuys and two pianists from Turkey. Mr. Beuys is the provocative leader of conceptual and performance art movements. He's also a fellow who occasionally performs with horses on stage and whose favorite sculpture materials are animal fat and felt, none of which he's using at this moment. Although Mr. Cage here has improvised with many unusual instruments, I don't believe he has ever improvised with my specialty, fireworks. created at this very instant by Pierre Alain Huber from just outside the Pompidou Center in Paris. And so from Paris, fire away.
So he's also touching the cactus with his finger. It's quite a performance art. And he's wearing some dark framed glasses, which makes him look a little bit like Ernie Kovacs, the old one of the first TV geniuses. Now, some of that, the music and those flavors, could trace to the origins of ambient music and soundscapes, electronic experimental music, stemming from Debussy, Erik Satie, Cage, and on to Brian Eno and many others. Also reminds me of some of the 1960s. I think they used to do, like, I remember from art class, you know, people performance art with cars or vehicles, and people painting on them or putting shaving cream or all kinds of, you know, odd different stuff. That's part of that, you know, think outside the box, or think outside the cage in this case. I think sometimes we try so hard to create art anew that somebody like Cage reminds us to look at what is already here and to tune into that. And that's part of that subtitle, A Way of Waking Up to the Very Life We're Living. An email just came in. I'm doing less editing to fit this show. Contemplating Cage and his presentation, came up with the phrase, the frame is not art. Sometimes we think that painting and art is restricted to the frame, but again, it's thinking outside the frame and being able to experiment. With writing too, that's something I do from time to time, is just being present to what's going on. And while working on a poem, perhaps a car honks or a bird calls, and that very action could become a line in the poem. So, I think that part of the message of this show is exploring one's definition of art and expanding that. The Beat Poets were well known for making poetry more familiar, down to earth, common man and commonplace scenes, you know, from the elevated romantic era. A lot of poetry we traditionally think of, but then the Beats, you know, turned walking down the street and, you know, whatever's happening and whatever's going on in the moment as part of the art. Some of Cage's bio from Wikipedia. John Milton Cage Jr. was an American composer, music theorist, writer, and artist, a pioneer of indeterminacy in music, electroacoustic music, and non-standard use of musical instruments. Cage was one of the leading figures of the post-war avant-garde. Critics have lauded him as one of the most influential American composers of the 20th century. He was also instrumental in the, instrumental in the development of modern dance, mostly through his association with choreographer Merce Cunningham, who was also Cage's romantic partner for most of their lives. Cage is perhaps best known for his 1952 composition 4:33, 4 minutes 33 seconds, which is performed in the absence of deliberate sound. Musicians who present the work do nothing aside from being present for the duration specified by the title. The content of the composition is not 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence, as is sometimes assumed, but rather the sounds of the environment heard by the audience during performance. The work's challenge to assume definitions about musicianship and musical experience made it a popular and controversial topic both in musicology and the broader aesthetics of art and performance. Cage was also a pioneer of the prepared piano, a piano with its sound altered by objects placed between or on its strings or hammers, for which he wrote numerous dance-related works and a few concert pieces. The best known of these is Sonatas and Interludes, 1946-48. His teachers included Henry Cowell and Arnold Schoenberg, both known for their radical innovations in music, but Cage's major influences lay in various East and South Asian cultures. Through his studies of Indian philosophy and Zen Buddhism in the late 40s, Cage came to the idea of aleatoric, A-L-E-A-T-O-R-I-C, or chance-controlled music, which he started composing in 1951. The Yi Ching, an ancient Chinese classic text on changing events, became Cage's standard composition tool for the rest of his life. In a 1957 lecture, Experimental Music, he described music as a, quote, purposeless play, which is, quote, an affirmation of life, not an attempt to bring order out of chaos, nor to suggest improvements in creation, but simply a way of waking up to the very life we are living. Wonderfully profound tidbits in that Wikipedia bit. And the Yi Ching, also a wonderful guidance. Sometimes, you know, the lines and just can provide an insight or give you a guide as to where to go with it, with an art project. Any kind of divination tool can serve that purpose as well. Now the inspiration for the rest of this show comes from the 4 minute 33. For about 10 minutes, I turned on the recorder and just was going to see whatever happened, if the phone rang, if somebody knocked on the door, whatever is going to be part of it. And so it's pretty much just, you know, me bopping around and making some heating up some coffee on the stove. There's some chair noises. The computer keyboard and mouse clicks are quite a percussion event. Maybe some other voices upstairs in the house. My typical humming to myself bit. The desk drawer opens and surprised me when I listened to it the first time. It sounds like a lawnmower. Now it's a little embellished because I knew the recorder was on, but generally as I listen to it, it's pretty much a lot of my typical routine while writing. And I was pretty astounded. I learned a lot about myself and the process. I was amazed at what I would normally think would be quietly by myself working and how much sounds there really are. And it also gave me a flavor of what I kind of knew in my head, but to have the objectivity, a clearer sense of, the working process and how all these the sounds and ideas and you know, emails or internet, whatever, these things that are filtering through, and part of my process is just kind of going along with them, often, you know, riffing on the music or the words, and that taking me in a creative direction, perhaps. So that was, it's quite a learning process, and I hope it comes across as interesting and entertaining. Here it goes, about 10 minutes of just bopping around. The desk here is quite close to the stove, so you know that's why there's not much time lag in between that. And after that, I'm going to go out with an actual music piece by John Cage to show that he did actually make, quote, music. So thank you for listening and enjoy. Thank you. Character man. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ocean of Sounds by John Cage.